It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, you've probably heard of the ride service Uber, but might not know how it works or might not have ever used it. Uber connects riders with drivers. These are drivers who offer a lift in their personal vehicles, and they exchange payment through a smartphone app. This first half hour, we want to discuss how Uber is coming to Iowa, to a few communities in Iowa, and how city officials are reacting to it in just a moment. I want to reach out to you. We have on our Facebook page the question, have you ever used Uber to call a cab in Des Moines, in Cedar Rapids, where it's working? If so, what was that experience like? Give us an answer on our Facebook page. You can also call us 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org is our email, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Well, in just a moment, we'll be joined by two people on city councils in Des Moines, one of them, and on the city council in Cedar Rapids in just a moment. First of all, let's go along for a ride with Uber to find out just how it works. This past weekend, our producer Lindsay Moon rode along with two Des Moines residents, Sean Callison and John Podmeyer. The two were using Uber to travel from the Greenwood Lounge on Ingersoll to the Hessen House, and that's on Court Avenue, if you're familiar with Des Moines. They say they started using Uber a few months ago when it came to Des Moines, and since Lindsay Moon, our producer, had never used Uber before, Sean started by opening the app and walking her through how it works.
Okay, so I'm going to open the app up. So it's going to pop up on my location automatically. There's a little thing that says set pickup location. That 2 minutes right there says that's my wait time, because there's a car right next to us. Pops up right there. I hit request the Uber, and then I wait, and it tells us down here it's going to be a Mazda 3.
This is him, I think.
Okay.
David?
Yep.
Yep.
Did you tell you where we're going?
I didn't. We're going to Hessen House.
I know right where that is.
So, David, what made you want to start driving an Uber cab?
I heard about it in the news, and I thought, drive people around, get people safely to their destinations. I think this is something I could do.
What was the application process like to become an Uber driver?
To be honest, this is the most thoroughly reviewed job I've ever had. I had to go through 8 background checks to get to do this.
Really?
Yeah, everything from national felony databases to statewide felony and misdemeanor databases, sex offender registries, National Traffic Safety Administration, all kinds of stuff.
I just also have to comment, given my experience in other cabs that I've been in, it smells so good in this car. Have you guys noticed that when you've taken Uber taxis that the cars have been cleaner than taxis maybe?
Yes, I've definitely noticed. I'm not sure, exactly what the reason might be, but I feel maybe being an Uber driver, because you're essentially an individual, because like Sean mentioned, you are an independent contractor. It's not up to the company to keep your car, clean and, for the upkeep there.
Another cool thing is that not only can we rate him as a driver, but he can rate us as a passenger. So if I see that David had a terrible rating, I would say, hey, I don't want David to pick me up.
Oh, yeah.
But not that he is a terrible driver. I'm just saying that is a possibility. And he could say that, hey, these guys suck. They puke in your cab. They stiff you on the tip. So it goes both ways. He can say who's a good passenger, and we can say who's a good driver.
Well, we're almost there. Do you guys have a music preference or anything for the rest of the ride? Or?
What did you have going before?
I just had an IPR going, honestly.
That's fine.
I also have an auxiliary cord if you guys want to put on some playlists or something.
We're close enough to just play whatever's going.
Have you guys had the experience where you've been in a regular taxi and they've asked you if you have a music preference? That also struck me as something that would be different.
Definitely never been asked in a cab before for a musical preference. They just kind of play what they've been playing and don't care about what you think. They just get you to point A to point B and want your money. So
sure. John, you shook your head too.
Yeah, I've never been asked by a cab driver what I would like to listen to. Honestly, I feel like awkward silence is the sound of a taxi cab. So, and that's not the case with Uber, as you've seen with David here.
Here we are, ending trip now. There we go. Oh, tipping's not necessary, man.
Yeah, but I'm going to tip either way, so.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the ride, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too, man.
Sean and John riding along with our producer Lindsay Moon in Des Moines to find out how Uber works with the driver. Turns out David, the Uber driver in this case. It's a cab ride that cost Sean and John about $9. I guess it would have been about $15 if they had taken a regular taxi. Joining me now for the rest of this half hour to discuss Uber, we have Chris Julik is with us, the city councilman in the city of Cedar Rapids. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Christine Hensley is with us, city councilwoman with the Des Moines City Council. Christine, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Dan McGeehy in our Iowa City studio, director of the Transportation and Vehicle Safety Research Division at the University of Iowa Public Policy Center. Dan, welcome back to our program.
Hello, Ben.
Since we had that Uber Drive demonstration in Des Moines, let's start with you, Christine Hensley. What's your reaction to this new trend, this new company, this new way of getting from point A to point B in a city, Uber?
Well, there's clearly a lot of interest, and they've really taken the city by storm with the level of interest. And I think that they've opened up our eyes to the fact that we have antiquated ordinances in place that really are specific to just taxi cabs and limos. And as a result of that, we're working to identify and develop an ordinance that would be inclusive for all modes of transportation, because we see additional types of transportation coming into the community as well.
I understand you're working on something called the Transportation Network Vehicle Ordinance there in Des Moines. So what are the talking points, the chief concerns you are discussing with your other council members there?
What we're discussing, insurance is at the top of the list. In fact, I'll just share with you, we had an Uber driver actually come to city council a week ago that wanted to make sure his points were taken into account as we developed the ordinance. And we asked him, he said that insurance was not a problem, that he had appropriate insurance. And the question we asked him, we said, well, does your insurance carrier realize that they're providing personal insurance for you and your vehicle, but that you're working as a commercial for hire individual? And he looked at us like deer in a headlight thinking, no, I have not had that conversation. So insurance is at the top of the list to make sure that there is adequate coverage for the passengers as well as the driver. That's one thing. Background checks is another item that is extremely critical to us. Then the evaluation process, making sure that there's not the ability to prohibit them from not picking up passengers in certain areas of the community based upon shortness of trips or maybe some geographical concerns. And then surge pricing obviously is something that is a new concept, and we just want to make sure that that's all taken into account. Our bottom line goal is that we have an ordinance that's applicable for all, so that you'll no longer have different rules and regulations, but everybody will apply to the will be under the same rules and regulations, and we'll let the market then sort it out. So based upon that interview that you just had, if there's a problem with cleanliness in cabs, obviously the cab companies are the ones that are going to be the losers, and more people are going to go with the Ubers of the world.
Mm-hmm. Chris Julik of Cedar Rapids, where you're a councilman, what's your reaction to Uber coming to Iowa, coming to Cedar Rapids?
Well, we're not quite as far ahead as Des Moines is. Uber moved into our market in the latter part of December, so we are just now doing some investigation into what some options might be in terms of modifying existing ordinances. Our chapter, our code that we have for taxis is probably over 10 years old, and so making modifications to that and taking into consideration this new version of transportation, I think the fundamental question is, what are we trying to accomplish with any kind of ordinance? And ultimately, I think that's public safety is probably the primary goal. So the issue is trying to figure out what's the appropriate level of regulations to deal with all the transportation mechanisms that we have in our community, including Uber.
Chris Julik, have you ever ridden with Uber? It's perhaps in another town, if it's not in Cedar Rapids, quite up and running.
No, I have not ridden in Uber. Both my kids, I think, have used it in other communities around the country, but I have not done it myself.
Are you hearing from Cedar Rapidians?
Actually, I've not heard anything from anyone about the topic, either from the taxi cab standpoint nor citizens, okay. other than just the casual conversation that we might have since it's been showing up in our local media.
Christina, I forgot to ask you, have you been on Uber? Have you given it a try?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I have not. I've not actually ridden in it, but I've been with people as they've been opening up the app and, you know, they're calling Uber. But I do also have family members that have ridden it. And mm-hmm. I guess just to follow up on the questions that you're asking, Chris, we as city council members have received quite a large number of emails, calls, interests. Supporting Uber, and then we've also, I know I personally have received a number of calls from individuals just concerned about background checks. That seems to be the one question that comes up.
Background checks, the larger question of safety. We've asked right. on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page, if you've used Uber to call a cab to travel in Des Moines or, I guess, Cedar Rapids or another city, go to our Facebook page and relay your experience as Matt did on our Facebook page. Matt writes, I've used Uber 6 times in the past month or so. It's a great service. All of our drivers have been great. Their vehicles were nice and clean. They got us to our destination safe and quickly. We'll be using it again next week. Dan McGeehee, Director of Transportation and Vehicle Safety Research at the University of Iowa Public Policy Center. I know you've been out of town recently and used Uber. Where were you?
I just got back from Washington, D.C., and I used Uber about 6 times in a week.
Mm-hmm. What was your experience?
Well, I've used it for a better part of a year in Seattle, Chicago, D.C., and it's really become a stable mechanism for me to get from point A to point B. It's not only a lot cheaper, but it's very much enjoyable. In fact, in 2 cars this week in D.C., they actually give you bottled water as you get into the vehicle as well.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, when you came into the studio today in Iowa City, you handed me a printout here of an Uber receipt, I guess.
Yes.
This is something that you were handed in the car as you left the receipt. Yeah. It gives your charge. This was, what, one of the Washington. I see. You get a little map like you would see a Google uh-huh. map. Your charge, $10.31. Distance 2.95. Your base fare was $2. Time 4.36 at minutes.
Yeah, I think it was a 17-minute total mm-hmm. journey that comes to you via email. It's all pre-approved ahead of time in terms of the payment. So that's also another really big convenience factor. You know exactly that you're going to get billed directly. Mm-hmm. And so forth.
Everything documented here. You certainly don't get this kind of documentation with a taxi.
Right. It shows the exact route, the time
on a
map.
Time out, yep.
mm-hmm. and which is really convenient, especially when you've been on a trip and you have to get that reimbursed.
And it says you rode with Ibrahim.
Ibrahim, yes.
And I see here, though, a dollar is added on to your fee. Safe rides fee is what's next to it. What's that about?
Yeah, so the safe rides fee is charged on every single Uber trip, and that goes towards all of the background checks that were described earlier in Lindsay's piece. So not only is it covering all the background checks that were described earlier by the driver, but also goes into vehicle inspections and other safety inspections that go along with the Uber service.
Mm-hmm. Safety is what we're hearing from Chris and Christine as the number one things they have as city officials. Do you see that going forward also as the number one issue, obviously?
Yeah, clearly, whenever you have a new service like this, you want to make sure all those things are covered. It seems that, you know, Uber is covered in over 50 countries and virtually every state in the country. So it's something that they think very hard about. Because it is a social networking experience in the end. And so, as was described, every ride is rated up to 5 stars. And they want
the driver and the passenger.
And the passenger. Mm-hmm. So that's what's real, I think, one of the best parts of this is that it's in their best interest to have the best ride, the smoothest ride, the most polite ride versus, you know, a taxi cab, traditional taxi, if you've taken one in Chicago or New York or D.C., any big city, they're just, you know, jamming on the gas pedal and honking and It's a very stressful
experience.
You mean
they're not asking you if you want to listen to?
No, I have not had that happen before.
Certain type of music. Jamie, writing on our Facebook page, we're asking this half hour for your reaction. If you've ever used Uber in Iowa or in another city, tell us on our Facebook page how it was. Jamie's writing on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. I used Uber services in Des Moines this past New Year's Eve. The bad thing is that you can't call and reserve like a cab. Maybe you can arrange that with a driver to pick you up ahead of time. If it's not busy, the drivers were honest, friendly, courteous. The vehicles they used were also newer. Chris Julik, I don't know how much you do thinking you do about the future. I would imagine somewhat as a city councilman. What does this tell you, this trend, Uber, about the future of transportation as you rework some of the ordinances you have that are connected with transportation such as taxis and now Uber?
Well, and I think you need to even take it a step further and a broader view of this peer-to-peer, the shared economy, because there's going to be other types of services where the disruptive deconstruction or destruction of other businesses can occur. And so we're going to have to look at what are the issues that we have to have in place and make modifications to our codes to accommodate this new economy that's coming on board, because there's more to it than just the Lyft and the Uber. There's other Airbnbs, another one with the hotel industry, and being able to stay in a place in somebody's room. Different kinds of regulations are going to be required in order to be able to manage this type of economy. And so, we've got the creative destruction. Well, we're going to have to come up with a creative regulation as well to manage this, because it's going to be completely different than what we've had to deal with in the past, and we're going to have to make some adaptations to it.
Christine Hensley, city councilwoman in Des Moines, what do you see when you look into the future? Similar things?
Absolutely. Things are changing, and we need to be evolving. And I guess I don't want to be too tied down in rules and regulations, but we need to have a base of rule and regulation that everybody is abiding by. And we don't want to stifle innovation, but we want to ensure the safety for our citizens.
Dan McGehee, help us understand Uber, because could there be competitors to Uber with another app and another sort of network of drivers? If you're an Uber driver, let's say I open a company, Ben Drivers. Could I do that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lyft is one of the competitors. In fact, I usually ask an Uber driver, do you also drive for Lyft? And out of probably the 20 or so rides that I've had, there's only been one that has been driven for both. But I think Uber's in a distinct advantage as well as Lyft is that they have the infrastructure in place to be able to provide the kind of information, the real-time feedback. That's a complicated system that they have in place. When you fire up that app and you look down and you can see several vehicles, in your direct area ready to pick you up.
Mm-hmm. Does Uber have the potential to be safer than taxi cabs? I know in Iowa City they're reworking some ordinances because last year in 2014 there were some incidents of sexual assault, and I think it turned out to be by a taxi cab driver. But this way, the documentation you brought me is it's clear that you're marked every foot of the way along the street.
Yeah, what I gather in talking to the many Uber drivers that I talk to is that they're essentially being tracked continuously, and so their vehicles are known by the broader Uber network, and so that's really a critical feature versus the regular taxis that we see running around. They may or may not be licensed in our cities.
Mm-hmm. Before we have to go, I know Dan McGehee, coming back from the nation's capital, you just returned from a transportation research board meeting in Washington. I have a couple minutes to ask you about that. What was discussed?
Well, autonomous driving is really one of the big...
We've had you on the show to talk about that, and you've actually taken me out in a semi-autonomous vehicle. That was quite a trip, yeah.
That's really... I sort of liken the whole field of autonomous driving to sort of a watching a soccer game of five-year-olds. It's like this big blob of people sort of clumped around the ball, moving around a field, and nobody can really see what's outside of that one ball. But it's progressing, and there's a lot of really fascinating technologies that are coming together. And I think Uber is really a central player in this, because they are in the future, they want autonomous driving vehicles to pick up their customers. And so they're really key in this space.
Could you one day you see a day when you would perhaps through a service like Uber or Lyft order a ride from point A to point B and a car comes without a driver?
Absolutely. I think that's really where they want to get to eventually. I think that's going to be quite some time before we get
five,
there.
Five, 10, 20 years down the line?
Bad at those kind of predictions, but that's, I think, under some limited circumstances, that's where they're heading for.
Mm-hmm. In the last minute or so, I know driver distraction was a topic that you had in Washington, D.C. What have we learned in the recent years about driver distraction and its importance, of course, to avoid for safety?
Well, distraction is something that's been around for a long time in vehicles. We tend to get distracted by many things that we have in our vehicles, especially our smartphones. Cars are getting much more complicated. Many cars now have very large touchscreens in them, and those are the kinds of things that we're studying here at the University of Iowa, is to see how we can offload things and manage that distraction in the car versus on your phone.
Mm-hmm. So what is the idea to when you don't want you want to see your map or whatever you are, or want to receive a text or hear a text? The idea is to, you said, offload tasks that your brain is doing, the driver's brain is doing. We don't really care what the others in the car are doing, right, with their devices.
Right. I think some of the car companies are actually, you know, able to take information from your phone, let's say a text message, and present it in a bigger font, for instance, so that it's easier to see and read rather than digging for it in your pocket or your purse. So I think those kinds of things, they're trying to look at how they can make that more efficient than squinting down at your smartphone.
Emily, writing on our Facebook page, writes about Uber. At first, I was very skeptical of Uber for safety reasons, but I soon found out that the drivers were friendly, the car's clean, and the price is affordable. Uber was the only car service not charging a snow fee of $25 in Washington, D.C. during a light dusting. I only wish it was available in Iowa City, writing Emily in Facebook page. So we have some testimonials there for Chris Julik and Christine Hensley. It looks like as part of your job, you might need to travel somewhere with Uber. Christine, you don't have to travel anybody. Get out there in a car and see for yourself, huh, Christine?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Christine Hensley, City Councilwoman with the Des Moines City Council, and Chris Julik, City Councilman with the City of Cedar Rapids. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Dan McGee, he is Director of Transportation and Vehicle Safety Research Division at the University of Iowa Public Policy Center. Always a joy to have you keeping us up on transportation. Dan McGee, he will look forward to the next time you're in our studio.
Thank you.
And coming up after we take a short break, in the budget he released last week, Governor Branstad quietly cut funding for two of the state's four mental health institutes. I'll talk about the impact of that cut with Nancy Hale, Executive Director of the Iowa Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. Then also Rick Schultz of the Iowa Department of Human Services. That's coming up in just a moment. Cuts in funding for mental health in Iowa after a short break. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.